Mini episode 253 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by TV Howl, your home on the web for coverage of today's television scene and a look at the history of the medium as covered by big-time TV critic Adam Buckman. Follow them on the web at tvhowl.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
The AFC North 2012 season and into 2013. Kyle, we were predicting a fall off in the division this past year, and again, there were only two teams making the playoffs from the division. You and I were both consistent in seeing Baltimore fall off a little bit, and were proven wrong in doing that. The one thing that I will say about Baltimore winning the Super Bowl, there was a great column recently on Grantland about contrasting the way they do it in the NFL to the English Premier League, where it's just a pure, you're at the top of the regular season, you win the championship, ain't no playoffs, period, versus in the NFL, again, as a purist, you look at it the last couple of years, there really is reason to wonder if the best team through the course of the season wins the Super Bowl, and you were telling me all year long about the Vegas power rankings and where Baltimore was coming in them, and it just seems to be the most curious manifestation of that trend there. Baltimore winning the Super Bowl after all the ways that we dogged them during the season.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm probably the only person. Look, I like to think you bring me on because I give a unique perspective. I have got to be the only person in Cleveland, Ohio, who finds it infinitely harder to root against Baltimore when Ray Lewis is in the lineup. I might be the only person in the world who thinks that outside of Baltimore.
You might be.
But I was wrong. I mean, when I look at the eight divisions as a whole, this is the one, and I wasn't, like, horribly wrong on anyone.
No.
I guess except Baltimore. But I did predict most of the teams to regress here. Now, they were coming off a year where three teams made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically enough, the one team that I didn't think that would regress that much was the only one that did, Pittsburgh.
Right.
Baltimore, I didn't think they would make the playoffs. And I said it all year that the metrics show that this was barely a 500 team. I think when the playoffs started, most people, myself included, thought, okay, back their way into the AFC North title. They got a fortunate draw in the wild card round by playing an overachieving Indianapolis team. They'll win that game at home. Ray lose last home game, and then they'll go out and get killed in the divisional round.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work out that way. They just got hot at the right time. We've seen it. And they were a little different, though, than previous Super Bowl winners, where, you know, teams like Green Bay and the Giants were hot at the end of the regular season, where Baltimore was not. Baltimore, mm-hmm. you know, arguably didn't get hot until the Denver game.
Right.
I mean, because they weren't even that impressive against Indianapolis, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But so they were better than I expected, obviously, by winning the Super Bowl. I didn't think they'd even make the playoffs. Cincinnati feels like they kind of arrived a year early somewhat. I thought they'd take a bit of a step back, and they didn't. They made the playoffs, which was a surprise to me. Pittsburgh did take the step back, which, and I picked them to win the division. And the Browns, I think, were a mild surprise. They slightly overperformed my expectations. I thought they would be like a four-win team. They win five.
Mm-hmm.
They were competitive, though.
Right.
But they're going through a regime change. And when I look at this division for next year, mm-hmm. I'm pretty high on the division, actually. I think this is by far the best division in the AFC, and I can easily see the same three teams that made the playoffs 2 years ago all making it again next year.
Yes.
Because when you look at it, okay, yeah, I was kind of sour on Baltimore. Yeah, they're going to lose leadership on defense. Right? I mean, look, say what you will about Ray Lewis. Yeah, he's a step slow. He's not what he was 10 years ago, but they played hard for him. I mean, look, the reason they won the Super Bowl is because Joe Flacco played the three best games of his career in the playoffs.
Yeah. But he's been a pretty good playoff quarterback the last couple of years.
And I've defended Joe Flacco on this program before. I also have defended Mark Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be a different team next year, Baltimore.
Right.
It's clearly there's going to be a vacuum in leadership. So
mm-hmm.
it's going to be interesting. It's Flacco's team now. He's going to mm-hmm. get paid. He's got to be the leader.
Right.
Pittsburgh's a team that doesn't miss the playoffs in back-to-back years. They do have those off years every once in a while.
Right.
But they don't miss the playoffs in back-to-back years much so. And I was as stunned as anyone by their kind of late-season swoon there.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought they were in position to kind of be Baltimore, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, they were sitting at, what, 6-6? I was like, oh, I could see Pittsburgh winning out and going deep into the playoffs. Didn't happen. The opposite happened.
Losing to Dallas was the big shocker to me, a team that in and of itself doesn't have any guts. For Pittsburgh to roll over in that game was a real eye-opener about where they're at.
The Haley-Roethlisberger relationship is something to keep an eye on. So is a terrible offensive line.
Yeah.
Roethlisberger's kind of in a similar situation to Aaron Rodgers.
Going to get guy, David DeCastro
the,
back,
yeah,
though.
The guy he lost to in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. It's funny that you have two of the best quarterbacks operating behind two of the worst offensive lines.
Right.
So Pittsburgh should improve. They finished, what, 9-7, missed the playoffs?
8-8. I got them at 9-7 in the wild card spot. Yeah.
I think 9-7 minimum for Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. But the team I like to win this division is not Baltimore or Pittsburgh.
Oh, we're going in the same direction here.
Oh,
okay.
We are. The Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
We've said it so many times. I don't mean to beat a dead horse. They fleeced Oakland as badly as any trade I've seen since the Herschel Walker deal with Carson Palmer.
Right.
Just ripping them off, but good for Carson Palmer. They've drafted well now 2 years in a row.
Right.
And you kind of get the feeling for them, what is their ceiling, Cincinnati? Are they on the Denver, New England, Houston line? Or even, you know, I mean, again, I'm picking them to be better than Baltimore, which is a bit curious. But for me, Cincinnati, their goal is very, and I'll talk about with Houston, they have a very firm, these two teams have very firm goals, in my opinion. Cincinnati's goal needs to be to win a playoff game. Because we've seen you can get there. You got the best receiver in the conference. Andy Dalton is average. I don't think he's a top 15 quarterback by any means. He's probably top 20.
And that's a problem because they're potentially a Super Bowl team if he's anything more than a game manager. You really started to hear questions about him after the playoffs this year. Where's
Andy
Dalton?
What's his
ceiling?
He threw a lot of interceptions.
He was as awful in that Houston game as any quarterback in the playoffs in a long time.
Yeah. But do you know what's key for Cincinnati?
What?
Didn't lose either of their coordinators.
No,
which is amazing. And both of their coordinators were highly regarded, considered candidates. Look, Mike Zimmer is great.
I would have taken either one for my Browns, quite frankly.
Mike Zimmer's a great defensive coordinator. Now, it's funny, when Cincinnati kind of started slow, the defense wasn't playing well, but he turned that around.
Right.
And then, you know, Jay Gruden, you can talk about that he's kind of fast-tracked because of his last name, but
he's done an amazing job.
He has done a very good job, and he's got some good pieces to work with. I think I could see Cincinnati going 11-5, maybe. We'll get to Denver later on. Spoiler alert. I think Cincinnati could be third. They're not going to get a bye, but I see him winning the division.
I got him third. I actually got him I got him hosting Baltimore in the first round and beating him.
I love how we're set on these matchups already.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're going to win that first game. Here's the thing, though. Again, Andy Dalton. And that's going to be the critical thing for this Bengals franchise in the next couple of years because his ceiling is going to define them because they're a team in an AFC that can be plucked in the next couple of years. How long does Denver have left in this run with Peyton Manning?
We'll talk
New
about
England,
them in a
we've
bit.
Talked about them, et cetera. Houston's going to be there for a period of time, it would seem like, but Baltimore and even Pittsburgh, they're on the back nine of their runs. The AFC is there for the taking for the Bengals in the next couple of years, assuming Andy Dalton can do it. If I were them, what I would look for...
It's third year. That's the year that it's kind of the make-or-break year.
It is. They need another wide receiver in the draft. I feel like they need somebody who's a legitimate number two wide receiver because you've already got Jermaine Gresham at tight end, but I think you need one more option out there for Dalton to help make things easier. And although Ben Jarvis Green Ellis gave them on paper everything you would expect this past year and everything you would hope for, maybe somebody with a little bit more explosiveness than him.
It always
helps
to have two
running
backs.
He's not a threat to rip off a screen pass for 50 yards. He's just not.
It always helps to have, you know, multiple running. That's the way it's done. But Cincinnati's interesting. They're a team that doesn't have really any weaknesses, do they? Like, what is Cincinnati not that good at?
I'm hard-pressed to really think of anything.
You know, that's something in their favor. I think this is a really good team. And like I said, for them, their goal is win a playoff game.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened now in over 20 years.
Yeah.
That is their very firm goal. It's even probably more important than winning the division for them. They just need to win. Now, winning the division would help them because it would give them a home playoff game.
Right.
The last 2 years they've had to visit Houston. I believe, yeah, they were the home team, though, when they lost to the Jets a couple of years ago. And I think they were the home team when Carson Palmer's career, for all intents and purposes, took a wrong way turn when Von Ohlhoff and Galulied him. But
yeah,
but still, they were kind of still grinding. They were younger then. They weren't as good as they are now. So if they can get a if they can win the division, host a playoff game, win it, I think they're fine. Odds-wise, I think there's great value on them when I'm looking at the futures for next year. This is just to win the Super Bowl. And I'm not saying Cincinnati's going to win the Super Bowl. But just to give an idea of where odds makers view these three teams in the AFC North.
If Cincinnati's better than 20-1, then you need to jump on that.
They are. They're 35-1.
35?
They have the same odds as San Diego.
That's
shocking.
That's
redamnculous. Pittsburgh's at 18-1, so they're at half the odds. Baltimore's 14-1.
Okay.
So, you know, odds makers are clearly saying, well, and look, a lot of that's public perception, keep in mind. But to me, those three teams are all very close, and I see Cincinnati winning a three-horse race. As for the Browns, another regime change.
For the sake of change here. They're going to the 3-4, and they're bringing in Mike Lombardi. Two horrible moves.
A lot of people are complaining, but look, do you want to say to people?
What?
Let's say the last month didn't happen in old Browns land. Let's say
the
new owner comes in, Jimmy Haslam, keeps everything the way it was. What was the Browns ceiling next year?
Not everything. Pat Shurmur, and I'm a guy who was an initial backer of his, was in over his head. No question about it. But for Tom Heckert still to be running things and to go pick another coach consistent with that. Again, Mike Lombardi's track record on personnel v. Tom Heckert's. And Heckert had to do the dirty work the last couple of years of replacing an aging, overpriced roster. The strength of this team on defense was the line. The weakness in terms of depth linebackers, so let's go to a 3-4. Let's hope Jabal Sheard won't be a bust in the 3-4 the same way that Cameron Wimbley was. On and on and on. DeQuell Jackson couldn't play as good in the 3-4 previously. This team, in my estimation, all the years they were in the 3-4, still had better personnel for the 4-3. You've now got the 4-3 fully established, so let's go back to it. It just is. It's not indicative of a scientific process, and that's what, as a Browns fan, makes me so animated about what they're doing, Kyle.
I think Mike Lombardi is being unfairly dumped on.
What's he ever done? Look at his track. Tommy Vardell?
Here's the thing, though. People do that.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Were the Raiders good when he was there? They were. Were the Browns good when he was there? Yeah, they were. I mean, it's not – you just can't put a sheet of draft picks down. And granted, yes, that's the manager. But first of all, with Oakland, it's funny. I was having a discussion with somebody. I was like, well, you know, Jamarcus Russell was Al Davis special. And you know, this guy's like, well, why didn't you just stand up to Al Davis? I mean, come on, pal. I mean, get with the clue. And here's the thing. Has the Raiders' personnel decisions improved exponentially since Mike Lombardi left? Was he the problem? Necessarily?
They've been fairly consistent over the years.
Yes, and consistently terrible.
Yeah.
And people always make fun of the Janikowski pick. You know what? The next year, they won the division.
Yeah.
So it didn't hurt them that bad.
Yeah. And how about the Tony Mandarich, Robert Gallery pick?
Well, that wasn't certainly the best pick, was it?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. People always want to rip those picks after the fact.
Uh-huh.
If everyone says this guy is the greatest thing ever, then it's not a terrible pick because anyone would have made that pick at number two.
Yeah.
Bad GMs are guys who reach, who are like, ooh, I didn't know about that pick.
Right.
That wasn't on my sheet, Tony. And it's wrong. You know, when the San Francisco 49ers take Alex Smith instead of Aaron Rodgers, when people say it's 1A, 1B, and you make that's a bad pick.
Okay.
Jamarcus Russell, anyone was going to take him number one. It's easy to say, okay, he was fat, lazy, and a terrible pick after the fact.
Right.
It didn't matter who was the first pick. Who had the first pick? They were taking Jamarcus Russell.
But in terms of round peg, square hole, in terms of roster construction, how about, although he did a good job the last couple of years in his role, how about Captain Dreads coming in to replace my boy, Dick Geron, defensively here with the 3-4?
Ray Horton is very highly regarded.
Yeah,
he needs to get a haircut.
He's,
I mean, you can't be that age.
You can't be rocking that at 50.
I mean,
Bomani Jones is right.
Yeah, yes. You're over here for that.
Yes.
Yeah, my dad gave me $20 for a tank of gas and a haircut. I mean, so.
Listen, but he's not the right coordinator, in my estimation, for this roster. What is here matters. It matters.
What was cheap, though?
It's cheap and it's young, and there's upside.
What was here, though? What was here?
The foundation. If you plug some impact players in there, you plug in a say you take a cornerback very high in the draft, one more impact outside linebacker. You are looking at a top 10 defense next year, probably. They are like maybe two impact players away from that if you stay with the 4-3. They didn't have that. What Dick Geron, everybody who goes to, well, he didn't attack. And Rob Chudzinski, who I think on balance is a good hire as coach of the team. I think he's one of these, you know, young up-and-coming guys who's got some upside. I don't really fault it. And certainly the funny thing is going into 2008, we all thought and hoped that he would be the next coach of the Browns. Funny how that works out. But the implicit criticism of Dick Geron, I want somebody who attacks. Dick Geron did the best he could with what he had. Dick Geron camouflaged the weaknesses of a defense that was as young as it was. But they were growing. They came together. I'm not saying, Kyle, that they're an all-pro unit. But they're the nucleus, potentially, of something very, very special. And now,
really?
That's out the, yes.
What were the Browns going to do? How good?
That defensive line.
How good
there.
Were the Browns? All right, like I said, answer the question. How good would the Browns have been if the last month didn't happen next year?
Next year?
The last month didn't happen. Tom Heckert's still the GM. Dick Geron's still the defensive coordinator. How good are the Cleveland Browns?
Do I get a new head coach in the mix
yes.
here? Okay.
Let's just say they only switch Shermer.
Okay.
For Chudzinski.
I'm not a Brandon Weeden believer, but I'll say 8-8. They're 8-8
with those three teams. You tell me everyone's going to be 8-8 or better in that.
Yeah,
division.
I think so. I think so because they would have feasted on. Well, first of all, the last place schedule. I mean, they would have been easily like the best last place team in football.
Well, there's
no question
about
that.
Yeah, they're still going to get a last place guy
for whatever that's worth. But
I didn't see the ceiling being that high.
No, I mean. I think, again, and that's assuming that you plug some more pieces into it.
And the problem is that's the way it works. I mean, people who are complaining about what happened
right.
with this Haslam just aren't being realistic.
Well,
because when you pay $1 billion
yeah.
for something, right, wrong, or otherwise, it gives you the right to say, okay, this is who I want.
It's a real-world deal, but, again, he is somebody who has been completely, it seems at this point, I guess the neutral way of saying it would be taken by one Joe Banner, who, based on my Philly media connections, basically after you shake hands with him, you better count your fingers. That's the rep on that guy. And you look at it, and again, the schematics on this defense here, the strength of this defense by far the defensive line, and then the 3-4, those guys are space eaters. They're like, you just occupy space while the linebackers run around. Yeah, but the linebackers are going to be fairly suspect in this whole thing here. It's mind-snoggling, you know, as a great man once said. I just can't believe that, you know.
Let me tell you something. The bottom line is,
what?
For people who don't live in Cleveland and couldn't give a rat's patootie about the Browns, let me echo their sentiments.
Yeah.
It don't matter. This team's coming in last place next year.
I'm going to say 5-11 again.
Wow, you think they don't improve? I think they might improve a game. I think they might be the I mean,
by tearing up the defense, by ripping up this nice young foundation and starting over with an ill-fit defense here, I don't get that.
The genius of Mike Lombardi.
Mike Lombardi is a chode that I'll tell you.
Oh,
what,
here we go. It's coming out.
If the media in Cleveland had any stones whatsoever, and I'm calling out everybody in the Cleveland media here, at that press conference, it would have been, excuse me, Mike, excuse me, Joe Banner, what makes this choice better than Tom Heckert?
What did this Tom Heckert elevated to Christ-like levels by Browns fans. Here's the problem.
I went to this draft last year, and I was wrong.
Here's the problem, though.
What?
Singles and doubles, guy. In this league, you need to hit home runs.
What about Mike Lombardi says home run to you?
Didn't say anything. I'm talking about Tom Heckert, and I didn't like his face, by the way, too. Tom Heckert. But anyway, here's the thing with Tom Heckert. Look, people want to rip RG. Oh, RG3 injury prone. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
Washington, aggressive. They're the ones who trade up. They're in the playoffs. Cleveland Browns, value.
What would RG3
And guess what?
Have done?
We stink. All right? Here's another thing.
Yeah.
Clear need at wide receiver. Julio Jones right there. Let's trade down for some fat guy, Phil Taylor. Atlanta Falcons are the best receiving core in the league.
Really good.
Browns, by the way, are with the rest of the losers eating buffalo chicken dip in January.
Phil Taylor's really good. Having said that, I wanted Julio Jones, and I stand by that. So I'm with you. The bottom line is,
I understand that they were kind of fundamentally sound decisions.
Yeah.
But look, man, I mean, the thing people are like, they were promised, a 5-year plan and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? In this league, man, you can tell right away. Look at Seattle. Everyone was ripped on their draft.
Right.
Said they reached for all these guys.
Right.
One transcendent pick. All of a sudden now, they're one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah.
San Francisco, Kaepernick. Where were these picks for the Browns? Just because you're supposed to get starters in the draft. People are basically elevating Tom Heckert to Christ-like levels for doing his job.
But when you're getting guys like Billy Winn that are coming in here, complete under-the-radar guys like that, and even Mitchell Schwartz, who, again, looked like a reach
players?
To me.
Are these great players, or are they capable starters?
Kyle, what you need to have in this league, you need to have a solid foundation on both sides of the ball, and I'm going to say somewhere in the ballpark of about 6 or 7 Pro Bowl caliber players out of 22, and the rest of them just need to be league average to better than league average. The Browns are fairly close in that regard already.
They don't have any transcendent players.
Joe Thomas on the offensive line.
Okay, but unfortunately a left guard.
Left tackle is the most important spot of the line.
Yeah, but you know what? It's not the most important spot on the field.
Trent Richardson's a
Pro Bowl
guy.
He's okay, but look at
this.
Look at what the Browns did. They have the number three pick, right?
And I wanted Justin Blackmon, so I'm not even defending it.
No, well, look, I thought Richardson was the right pick.
Okay.
But look what they do. They allow Washington to go above them and get RG3.
Yeah.
And then they actually got caught. Minnesota called their bluff, and they wound up giving up a pick for Rich. I don't think this Tom Heckert is as great
Josh
as people
Gordon,
thought he was.
Great pick for next year. They use next year's number two in a supplemental.
That was not a bad pick.
Now,
again,
the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. I was never a big fan of the Greg Little pick, with all due respect to fellow FDH Lounge dignitary Chris Galloway, who I'll go to my grave saying loves him because he played at North Carolina. But, again, I'm not going to count Gordon in that mix, too. But you've got possibly Jabal Sheard in there, possibly Phil Taylor. I mean, if you give me like one of those two guys, Joe Thomas, Trent Richardson, there's three. You're like four superstar players away, which is not inconvenient.
Which is a lot.
That
team ain't doing nothing.
And Brandon Weed.
Maybe Mike Lombardi with his tremendous media connections can attract some free agents.
Michael,
what a great move it was to get Jerry Rice when everyone thought he was done, too.
How about Jim Nantz putting over Michael Lombardi, I guess, during the Super Bowl about what kind of a genius he is?
Maybe Cleveland's going to become a cool place to go because of Mike Lombardi.
No offense, Nantz, but nobody asked you. We know that the pick sucks. I mean, that's with all due respect to Jim Nantz.
I'm rooting for the Browns. I'm rooting for Mike Lombardi. Just to prove all these Facebook GMs wrong. Tom Heckert can be a Facebook GM.
he will be, and he should be. By the way, too, does Mike Lombardi get no demerits for constantly more or less undermining Tom Heckert in the media the whole time, only to come in and swoop and get his job? It's pretty transparent the greasy game he was playing.
What a brilliant move. What a brilliant move if that was his plan all along.
We're rewarding him for being Dwight Schrute. We're rewarding him for playing office politics in the media and brown nosing and playing connections here and being wrong on picks, by the way. Wrong about how Josh Gordon sucks. All these indiscreet things that he said that turned out to be wrong anyways, dogging on Joe Hayden the way that he did, all these crazy things that turned out to be wrong.
I'm sure he's apologized at this point and said how what fine people they are.
Well, I, as a Browns fan, I wish his parents would apologize to the world.
Oh, now that's terrible. That is just completely classless.
Well, you
I wish Browns fans' parents would apologize to me every Sunday for some of the verbal diarrhea I've got to endure. And I'm sitting trying to watch good games, and I have to hear, I have to hear, put in McCoy, because that's a good take.
That is a good, I like McCoy better than Whedon, for whatever that's worth.
You know what? Yeah, okay. I'll tell you what, I'll take chlamydia over herpes, okay? All right, Jesus.
Well, that classy note in the division that Baltimore resides in, by the way, coincidentally or not, brings our discussion of the AFC North to a close.
As
we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.